ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर द कृष्ण रसायनम कंटिन्यूएशन ऑफ द चित्रकेतु सेक्शन। We will take two more sittings this week and next week, next session to complete the Chitraketu's pastime. We are going to the 16th chapter. King Chitraketu meets the Supreme Lord. But before he meets the Supreme Lord, something very extraordinary happens in his life. So, many of you were present last time. We were discussing on how in the earlier chapter we read Chitraketu and his wife Kritadyuti were completely grief-struck by the passing away of the child, and all the other queens also cried crocodile tears. Later on Narada and Angira, you know, they came to instruct Chitraketu. Sometimes, when we read this type of section, some devotees don't find it very pleasing to hear this type of pastimes. Like today, the pastime is going to be the Jiva speaking to Chitraketu and the queens. So everybody knows this story already before. So many people may be thinking, what is Prabhuji going to say? We already have heard this story before. You know, we know he is going to say that, you know, the Jiva has had many mothers, many fathers and many lifetimes. You know, so therefore Chitraketu became detached, and then he prayed to Lord, and then he, you know, went back to Godhead. So although we may know the summary, we should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is such a Amalam Puranam, such a pure literature. Anything that Bhagavatam awards us is actually needed by us. Just like a mother sometimes gives very nice sweet preparations to the child. Sometimes a mother may also give medicine to the child, you know, which may be consisting of bitter gourd, or it may consist of neem, sometimes. But the most important thing is we have to see who is giving it to the child. If mother is giving, it has to be good for the child. Mother is not interested in displeasing the child. But ultimately mother is concerned about the supreme welfare of the child. So, therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam also is like a mother. The Vedas are compared to mother. So, some pastimes may be pleasing to hear, but other pastimes may be a little bit shaking us. And Chitraketu and Bharat Maharaj are such pastimes. But one should hear this pastime. Why? We should know the glory of cultivating detachment. Now, detachment is a word feared by many people. In fact, one boy is becoming very serious in his devotional service. You know, he comes to one of our student centers in the morning and comes to Kunjaveri temple also, is chanting, dancing. But his wife is not yet a devotee because he has not taken efforts to bring her to devotional service through some Mataji. So one day I asked this boy, you know, how is your family? Are you both practicing together? He said, no, my wife considers me mad. She says, you have gone crazy. All the time you are chasing after God. You know, she says she wants to watch TV. You know, she is in her own materialistic pursuits. I told him, this is because you have not taken steps to give her chance to taste Krishna consciousness. Through some senior lady, through whom you should have preached to her. Because if you keep a gap between the two of you, there will always be misunderstanding at home. There will be quarrels or misunderstandings. So now that lady is considering this fellow too detached or too dry in life, who doesn't know the pleasures of life. You know, she thinks we can go to movie, we can go to party, we can go to Disney World, the SL World. There are so many enjoyable things in life. And look at this fellow, he's wearing a tilak and running to temple, chanting, dancing. Like that she is thinking. Actually, there is a materialistic approach to life and spiritual approach to life. So he is tasting spiritual life and she is tasting material life. So there is a gap between the two. But unless one understands that by studying Bhagavatam, if we don't give up our extreme unrealistic expectations in life, if we don't give up, we will be the most frustrated people. You will see Chitraketu's wives, other than Kritadyuti, you know, they all were extremely frustrated because of their unrealistic expectations. What was their expectation? None of them had a child for a very long time. And then by the blessing of Angira Muni, you know, Kritadyuti gave a child. So they could have considered that this child belongs to all of us. King is happy, we are all happy. Let him become the next king and rule the kingdom and be happy, satisfied. But were they happy like that? Were they happy? No. They thought Kritadyuti has a child and king is happy. Now Kritadyuti and King Chitraketu and Harshashoka, they have become a little world. They are all in one world and we are separate. Nobody is looking at us. We are being neglected. Nobody is paying attention. So they became envious. And gradually their envy became stronger and stronger and stronger. At one point of time, they killed the child. That means when we have some spark-like expectation from others, that spark will gradually come out in various ways. For example, whether it is your office or home or your friend circle, wherever it be, the first thing that comes is you look at the other person and see, this person is not fulfilling my expectation. You are just thinking like that. Then that spark gradually takes a bigger shape. It comes out as words. One day you may speak some sharp words. And the reason for that words is what? Because you are there is a dissatisfaction seed due to expectations not met. So you express it. Then that person also, you know, maybe tolerates or whatever. Then in the future, you show non-cooperation. Then you gradually distance yourself from that person. Then there will be a raising of hand, there will be a war, there will be separation. So all these things, they all began from where, which place? One seed of dissatisfaction which arose due to lack of detachment. Therefore, you will see all our unrealistic expectations can be easily given up by acceptance. And that acceptance means cultivating detachment. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tyagat Shantir Anantaram. If you want a long standing peace in your life, then he says Tyagat. Want you to have detachment. One should be willing to forego certain things. There is a saying in English, what cannot be cured must be endured, it is said. Now Chitraketu's other wives would have understood that, okay, Kritadyuti got a new son now, just now. So the king is attached to her. When she becomes old, we all become old. What difference will it make for the king? once the boy grows up, now the baby is a small baby, therefore king is attached to the baby and attached to Kritadithi. Maybe once things change over the years, it may not be the case. They could have gone on provided they were detached. But they were not detached. I will give you another example. You will see how detachment helped someone to bring about peace and happiness for oneself and for others. That is our Suniti. Suniti's husband also, who? Uttanapad, he showed favoritism towards Suruchi. He liked Suruchi, but he disliked Suniti. And he practically demonstrated it when Dhruva Maharaj was not allowed to sit on his lap. He did not protest against Suruchi because he thought, if I become angry with this beautiful wife, then she will, you know, become upset with me and she will not cooperate with me. I don't want to displease her. So he kept mum. At that time when Dhruva went to his mother Suniti, you know what she spoke to him? My dear child, your father likes Suruchi more than me. She is his favorite queen. And I am a simple queen. So Suniti, you will see, she was detached. So did she take any action on Suruchi? Did she take any action on Uttama? Did she take any action on Uttanapa? No. She was detached. So therefore we should know, hearing such kind of pastimes like this will teach us detachment. From sometimes we see it is necessary to have affection for the relatives, friends, namely mother, father, wife, children, family, everybody. And we have to also display the affection by rendering some service to them. Like a father may sit with the child and teach some subjects. He may spend some time with his wife. He may take the family for a tour. You can display the affection. At the same time, it has been seen in this world, and Shastra has repeatedly declared that the affection always goes on the higher side. It is not an exaggeration. Prahlad Maharaj speaks about that. The affection inevitably turns into attachment. It has been seen in this world. And this is something which comes without being told also. Nobody teaches you. Like if Gulab Jamun is there in the kitchen, nobody needs to tell you to ask for one more. And naturally you ask. Nobody needs to be taught. If you ask one more, you will be given. You ask for it more. Sometimes we make Karela Sabji one bucket full and very little is consumed. It remains as it is. Gulab Jamun, you make four buckets, all are over. And some guys come late for prasad, they won't get anything. So in the same manner, material affection turns into material attachment. It has been seen. It is seen in the Shastra and it is repeatedly spoken in the Shastra again and again. Therefore, it is a duty of a sincere sadhaka to study these type of pastimes, to cultivate the principle of detachment. So Suniti must have cultivated detachment. She had a renounced temperament. Prabhupada uses this word in Bhagavatam. So we all have to cultivate renounced temperament in everything, in situations, in our expectations from other people around us, in certain dreams that we may hold in our life. We have to cultivate a renounced temperament. Like for example, you are expecting that I will crack this exam and I will get into such and such college or company or something. Some people have a goal, I will get into PSU, in a public sector unit, it will be a government job, it will be a cool job. Somebody thinks I will become IAS officer. Somebody is, like recently I heard just a month ago, one girl wrote a NEET exam, you know. NEET exam is for medical entrance. So in her college she got 92%. She wrote NEET exam and she failed. And she could not take it. Her expectation was not met. What she did, she consumed rat poison and died. And it came in the paper. You see? So this is how the matter is so serious, I am telling you. If you don't have detachment, people may consume some poison and die. Because their expectation is not met. So people sometimes hate to learn such lessons like detachment. But we understand, if we don't learn this lesson, we may have to face some serious catastrophe in our life. So Kritadyuti's co-wives killed the child. And long before, now I told you this girl, medical entrance girl, she consumed poison and died. All because my expectation is not met. If it is not met, I will go to any extent. Either I will harm myself or I will harm others. You see, in America, the children are brought up in such a way, like in India, sometimes they put a bill in a billboard, I get what I want. You have seen this? Actually, the true fact in this world is the jiva does not get what he wants in this world. In fact, the term misery means to get what you don't want and to not get what you want. Like nobody wants old age, nobody wants disease, nobody wants death. Or in short term things you can say, nobody wants traffic jam, nobody wants pollution, you know, nobody wants tedious to cut their salary before it is given in the hand, isn't it? But you will see that despite you are not wanting, these things happen anyway. You will see that. Similarly, you get what you don't want, and you also get what you get what you don't want also. So both things are true in this world. So in all the situations, if we don't develop detachment, we are going to be the most frustrated people. You will lose the quality of your life. And a person who has developed detachment will be jolly in all situations. He'll be very peaceful and happy. And therefore, one should know that, like you see, Vidura always lived in the palace in a renounced temperament. Prabhupada says that. Therefore, one day, when Duryodhana chastised his uncle, Vidura, very strongly, because he told Dhritarashtra, throw this man out of the palace only with his life hair, and don't give him anything else. Although he eats our salt, he always, you know, talks against us. He is in favor of Pandavas. So Vidura was shocked. How my nephew is speaking like this? Can anybody speak like this to an uncle? That too in the Vedic times, people will not even make a verbal abuse of a superior. What do you think of superior? Even equal also. So Vidura was shocked. So in that place it is mentioned that the sharp speech of Duryodhana entered his ears like a sharp arrow and entered his chest. It pained a lot. See, if we have too much expectation from somebody, they don't meet our expectation, our heart is pierced with an arrow. We feel pain surely. Vidura also felt pain. But he always lived in the palace in what temperament? Renounced temperament. So he decided, I think I should quit this palace for some time. So he left the palace and went on a pilgrimage to meet Maitreya, Uddhava, ultimately Krishna. That was his goal. So he converted a misfortune into a good fortune. So if you have detachment, we can convert misfortune into good fortune. Therefore, although this pastime is teaching us how not to become overly attached to our family, relatives, friends, and due to that attachment, not get become stuck in the material world. It teaches us how actual affection is to be shown to the Supreme Lord, who is our most lovable friend, eternal friend. We will see, mother is attached to a child and pampers the child. She picks up the child, she bathes the child, she dresses the child, and she develops, showers hugs and kisses to the child repeatedly, and she enjoys that company of the child. But she cannot do that after some time because child doesn't remain like that. Child grows up, isn't it? Once a boy becomes 10th standard, 12th standard, and he grows up to college, you know, then her relationship with the son becomes much different than her relationship when he was a small child, isn't it? Similarly, the boy when he is young, then he shows similar type of affection when he gets married to a woman. And then a man and woman, you know, as soon as they are married, some people want to show off after the marriage everywhere. They spend so much money, they go here, go there, so many things. And there is a very strong mutual attraction between the male and female immediately after the marriage or at the marriageable age. they go mad practically. They forget all the entire world around them. Their relationship becomes the only thing for them. But does it last for a long time? After the child comes, both mother's and father's attention turns towards the child. You will see that. So in this world, you will see our affection lasts for a while, and then afterwards affection is reposed on someone else or something else. And it keeps changing like this. Sometimes, for example, a mother loved a son very much, mother or father. Now if the son becomes 15, 20 and he does not listen to the parents, does the love remain? No. You know, immediately many parents, they don't know how to deal with adolescent children, and as soon as adolescent boy tells the father that, "Papa, don't get in my way. I know what I do, or what to do in my life," immediately the relationship becomes acidic. Same thing with husband wife, same thing with mother son, father son. You can see that. So therefore you will find this love, what we consider as everything in this world, is actually not ultimate love. Shastra says it is very sinusoidal. It's like goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down. It is not permanent in this world. Whereas the love for the Lord, once it is awakened, it is ahaituki apratihata. Therefore, one sentence Prabhupada writes in this chapter, that Lord does not offer His service to anybody until they have given up their material motives. Like that He says. That means, as long as a devotee goes to Lord with material motives, a devotee's focus is on whom? On whom? On oneself only. I, me, mine. People's focus is, "I want this, my Lord. I like this very much, my Lord. I want to enjoy this, my Lord. And you help me for this." So focus is I, me, mine only. So Lord thinks, right now poor fellow, he's focused on himself only. What service can I give him? Even if I give seva, that will fall in deaf ears. He won't hear me. Same thing happened when Angira Muni came. Chitraketu was I focused or Lord focused? I focused. He said, "I am lamenting, I am not happy, I am not pleased, my mind is suffering, I, me, mine," that's all. He was completely eye-centered. And Angamani thought, how can he render service to Lord? Okay, chalo, you are I, me, mind-centered, take this child. This is what you are hankering for, take it. So he gave, like that, you see. So therefore Prabhupada writes, the ahaituki apritigata seva starts when a person tells the Lord, "I simply want a sambandha with you. I want to love you. I want to serve you." So once we have come to that platform, that platform is a platform of actually detachment, material detachment. It is not that such a person has to be brahmachari or sannyasi only. There are many people who are like Ambarish Maharaj, you hear. There are many kings, Yudhishthir Maharaj. These people, they were married, they had children, they had kingdom, they had abundant wealth, but they had fallen in love with the Lord. Due to which they saw their wives, children, everybody to be Lord's property. They never did or said or thought even anything to be separate from Krishna. That is why the word Krishnera Samsara is used. Krishnera Samsara Karo Chadiyanachar. Boliye, Krishnera Samsara Karo Chadiyanachar. Jive daya Krishna naam sarva dharma sar. Jive daya Krishna naam sarva dharma sar. Krishnera samsar karo chadiyanachar. Jive daya Krishna naam sarva dharma sar. Krishna naam sarva dharma sar. See, he says, Krishnera samsar karo, which means, like, company has given me a car, so I should serve the company with the car. Now, if the company takes back the car and gives me a luna, no problem. Car doesn't belong to me. Company gave me the car, it has taken back. Similarly, what Chitraketu should say, Lord gave me the son, now son is taken away back by the Lord. He is not my property, it is Lord's property. That detachment he did not have. That he will develop in this chapter, which we are going to read today. So all of us in our life also, we should know everything that we use in this world, we are only custodians of those things. We are not owner of those things. Like the house we live in, that is Lord's property. One's wife, children, mother, father, these are all Lord's gifts to an individual. One should see like that. And by seeing like that, by keeping Krishna in the center, one will always live happily in this world and in the next world. Therefore, you will see that a devotee of the Lord is different from these two categories of people. You know who is the escapist? Anybody knows? There are two people, exploiter and escapist. Karmis are called exploiters. And jnanis are called escapist. Karmis want to exploit and enjoy the world. And jnanis tried that and got frustrated. So they leave this world, go there to Brahma Jyoti to enjoy that. So they are called escapist from this world. They escape from here and go there. So one is exploiter, another one is escapist. But who is devotee? Devotee is an expert essence collector. What is the meaning of expert essence collector? A devotee is a saragrahi. Even in the material world, the devotee knows what things are usable in Krishna's service. And he will take that and use it in Krishna's service. One time a Mayavadi came to one matha, one ISKCON temple. And he requested, can I be allowed to stay overnight? So devotees, as soon as they heard the Mayavadi, they were wondering whether to allow him or not. So there was one private room available, so they allowed him to stay. Next day morning while leaving, this fellow left this much bunch of, you know, one pamphlet of a program, you know, which was going to be organized somewhere in the neighborhood, in the same city. He thought some of the Vaishnavas will pull them into Mayavadi tent. That was his idea. So he left a bunch and went. So devotees took this bunch and showed to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, after the program is over, he told the devotees, please distribute the pamphlets to everybody. And they're wondering, really? Distributed. And you can put the prasad in that for eating purpose. So everybody ate prasad and put it in the dustbin. So even a Mayavadi's pamphlet Prabhupada could use in Krishna service. Is it amazing, no? Isn't it? So a devotee always thinks how to use everything in Krishna service. That's how devotee never sees anything separate from Krishna. So if Chitraketu saw his son in relation to Krishna, he would not have lamented the way he lamented. So you all know how in the home of Srivas Thakur, when he was dancing and chanting along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the kirtan, his son passed away, isn't it? So when his son passed away, that is very similar pastime like this. Only difference is, it's like earth and sky difference, isn't it? In that pastime, the women were weeping inside, and Srivas Thakur went in and calmed them down and understood the child was, you know, gone. Again he came back to the kirtan and started continuing to dance. Can you imagine? Which father in this world will be ready to dance in kirtan when a child is gone? That goes to show how much Srivas acted for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. You can see that. How much he made Krishna's pleasure his own pleasure. So that is a very high standard pastime. And Mahaprabhu at one time felt some uneasiness. He stopped the kirtan and asked, why am I not feeling ecstasy? And some devotees told, in fact, Srivas Thakur told the Lord, my dear Lord, where you are present, how can there be any inauspiciousness? Like that he asked. A devotee considers everything to be auspicious in the presence of the Lord. But then Lord came to know the truth. And then he immediately went in and woke up the dead child. He also spoke, like we are going to hear now, similarly. And then he departed to the next destination. But the difference between Chitraketu's pastime and Srivas Thakur's pastime is, Chitraketu was materially too attached to his son. And he was always thinking in terms of I, me, mine. He was orbiting around his palace, orbiting around the child, orbiting around his kingship. And he was not God-centered. At the most, we can say he was like a pious materialist. Like that. On the other hand, Srivas Thakur was a pure devotee. He thought, my son is a gift of God. You know, Krishna gave me the son, now he has taken back. Ultimately, he belongs to Krishna. But I have to work for Krishna's pleasure. You can see that. Actually, all of us in our life, how much are we working for Krishna will be tested over a period of time. Like somebody gives you a seva to do, you should do it in the mood of a service. One day, one devotee was told to sing Guru Puja in the morning and he was very happy. Even during Japa time, he was smiling happily. Today I am going to sing Guru Puja. And especially Sunday, lot of people will come. 1,000 people will be there and I will do such a kirtan. Everybody will be excited. I'll do such a roaring kirtan and everything, he was thinking. And he's a very famous kirtaniyar, very fond of doing kirtan. Exactly at Shringara Darshan time, one sannyasi arrived. And he was taken to the altar for darshan. He took darshan and then the same fixing devotee requested, Maharaj, would you like to sing Guru Puja or would you like to do arati for Prabhupada? Maharaj said, I would like to sing, he said. Then immediately he brought Maharaj to the mic. And this fellow was very disturbed. He said, Prabhuji, what is it? You told me I should sing today. Why are you giving it to somebody else? He said, hey Prabhu, we are not giving to somebody else. His Prabhupada disciple has come. You should be willing to adjust. What, Prabhuji, you can tell Maharaj to do arati. I want to sing. Then this devotee said, okay Prabhu, you can do arati and Maharaj can sing. No, arati many people like to do, but I want to sing only. That means he is not sufficiently detached. See, if you are not detached, we will commit offenses to sannyasi also. Why did this fellow come? you will think like, exactly people come for darshan time. Guru Puja time, aajate hain log. All. So in this way, one may be cursing that sannyasi, why you came now? Correct, no? So if you are not detached, we have a lot of problems. We don't cultivate detachment. Therefore, this pastime will teach us. See, Vaishnava detachment is different from Mayavadi's detachment. You see, sometimes in your knee you get a wound. You put a plaster. And next day you want to remove the plaster. But while removing that plaster, the hair also comes out. You've seen? It comes. Oh, it's very painful it is. When you have to remove it and put a new one. But if you put some water and remove it, you mean it smoothly, it just comes out. Similarly, you will find in Vaishnava Siddhanta, the detachment is made very easy by getting the juice of Krishna Prem, by rendering devotional service to Krishna. That is like the water. If you put the juice, detachment is very easy. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, they were also detached. They lived with their wives, children, family, profession, everything. But they gave their heart to Krishna. And they made all their dependents give their hearts to Krishna also. So therefore, you can make a one-to-one comparison between Chitraketu's pastime and Srivast Thakur's pastime. You can see, one is a pure devotee, one is a materialist, pious materialist, you see. So the first 11 verses are the Jiva speaking to Chitraketu. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Ata Devarishi Rajan Samparetam Nripatmajam Darshayitpeti Hovacha Jnatinam Anushochatam. Yeah, translation.
Shri Sukhdev Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, by his mystic power, the great Sith Narada brought the dead son into the vision of all the lamenting relatives and then spoke as follows.
Shri Narada Uvacha Jivatman Pashya Bhadram Te. Hey Jivatma, see the good fortune that awaits you. Bhadram Te is telling. Mataram Pitaram Chate. See, your mother and father are awaiting to hand you over the whole kingdom. You are the successor of the king. You are going to be the king of the whole world and so much wealth awaits you to enjoy. Suhrido bandavas taptaha. All your relatives and friends, everybody, they are deeply sad, aggrieved by your sudden passing away. Shuchat patkritaya brisham. See, they are all weeping and crying because very great lamentation has been caused to them because of your sudden departure. So therefore, whatever balance period is there in your account, please come back and spend, is telling. See, you will see, Narada is now going to do a miracle now. Sometimes, if one preaching style doesn't work, you may have to adopt another preaching style. Like, you know, you give one type of lecture, people don't listen. So, like for example, in our youth preaching programs, we do different type of lectures by which boys pick up Krishna consciousness seriously. Like one of the examples I'll tell you will understand. We have a tug of war activity. You know what is tug of war? We show a drama to boys about how Karna, and Duryodhana on one side and everything, and then Krishna is coming and inviting Karna to come to the side of Pandavas. Then at the end of the drama, we tell the boys, how many of you feel the decision made by Karna was perfect, that he stayed with Duryodhana? And those people who are standing for friendship, friendship is the ultimate goal of life, they come to which side? Karna and Duryodhana's side. And we ask the question, how many of you feel he should have joined the Pandavas? Spiritual minded boys and pious boys who like Krishna very much, they go to Krishna's side. Almost equal we get, almost 10 this side, 10 this side we get. Now we tell them there's a tug of war between all of you. You have to argue. You have to prove what Karna did is right, and you have to prove what Karna did was wrong. You should have come to Krishna's side. And then the tug of war goes on for 2 hours. When they talk and boys are in full form, and all the audience, they don't blink their eyes also. Everybody saying, what did they say? What did they say? Everybody, imagine if I sit and give a lecture for 3 hours on the same topic. Many people look at the watch, when will this Prabhuji end? Is it not true? Because young boys, to keep them in one place is not very easy. They are very hyperactive. So this is one activity we do like this. So like this, many different activities we do. Sometimes we make group activity, give them some, we tell them that instead of we teaching them, we give them a note, 5-6 pages, like God and demigods. We tell them to prepare, read the topic, prepare in groups. Then we keep group quiz. And the scoreboard is there in the thing put up. There are 8 groups. Every group is thinking, we want to give the correct answer. So they study thoroughly and come more than the way they will learn by our teaching. Isn't it? So sometimes we have to change our preaching style for different type of audience. And you will see, here Narada is taking a different approach. He is going to show a demo now. You know, by showing it, through a demo he is going to bring king and all the relatives to, you know, understanding of body, soul and difference. Here you will find that Narada is not only preacher to Chitraketu. Narada is a children preacher also. He preached to Prahlad. He preached to Dhruva. He is a youth preacher also. He has preached to who? Hariyasha Shavalasvas. Yeah. He is a life member preacher also. Prachana Parishad. Is it not true? Either has preached to different people. And he has also preached to, like we say, senior devotees. Like for example, our Prachetas, if you see, Prachetas, they were actually very elderly when Narada met them. Because they were actually disciples of who? Shiva. Lord Shiva. In the forest. And they were later on in the later years, when they were about to take Vanaprastha, in the later years they went to the ocean side where they met one Jabali, they were doing Ashtanga Yoga and all. Narada Muni thought, my Lord, this is not the correct thing. I should teach them pure devotion service. So at that time he gave them pure devotion service. He taught them. That means Narada also gives like that. And Narada also preaches to very advanced people like Cambridge, Oxford or Massachusetts type of people. Who is that? Vedavyas. Correct, huh? Highly learned personalities. So Narada has preached to all types of people and he has adopted different methods. And he has preached to some of the most fallen people like Mrigari also. By telling him, you know, why do you half kill the animals? Kill them fully. So here he is using an expert technique to preach to them, and everybody is in rapt attention. Kale varam swam avishya shesham ayu sukhrit prataha vungsha bhogan pitru prattan adhitishta nripasanam.
Because you died untimely, the balance of your lifetime still remains. Therefore, you may re-enter your body and enjoy the remainder of your life, surrounded by your friends and relatives. accept the royal throne and all the opulences given by your father.
See, why is he saying this? When all of them heard what Narada spoke, they were all satisfied. Narada has exactly understood what we want. Basically, we want the child to come back and grow and take up the kingship and rule the world and deliver the mother and father and everything. How nicely Narada is telling the child, they were happy. But Narada knew very well that the child's time period was already over. But still he spoke like this for the satisfaction of everybody. So the child will come back. Now the child has come back to life. The soul who was going to the next destination returned back on the call of Narada. And he is speaking now. Jeeva uvacha. Kasmin janmanyami mahyam. Pitaro mataro bhavan. Karmabhir brahmya manasya. Deva tiryang riyo nishu.
By the mystic power of Narad Muni, the great...
Actually, there is a long, it's a long translation, but I'll tell you briefly what it means. See, he's saying, Kasmani, Kasmin, Janmani, Ami, Mahyam. Ami means my all these people who are around me, actually, Kasmin, in which life I was connected to them. You are calling as mother and father, Pitaro, Mataro, Abhavan. You are saying, in which life these two personalities, Chitraketu and Kritududhi, were my mother and father? Because I have had millions of lives. Now I want to know, they are which mother, which father? Please tell me. Which means, you know, when I was a fish, I had a fish mother, fish father, like that. When I was a dog, I had dog mother, dog father. When I was human being also, I have had multiple mothers and fathers. Like that he is telling. And then he is saying, karma bir brahmya manasya. Brahmya means to roam around due to my karma. In millions of lifetimes. Deva tiryang nara yonishu, he is saying. Sometimes I was a demigod, sometimes I was animal, sometimes a human being. In different yonis I have been wandering. What are you talking? I don't understand. Like that he is saying. So Prabhupada writes in the purport a very important point. In the second para you can read, fourth line, the living entity.
This time the living entity was supposed to have been the son of Maharaj Chitraketu and King Kritadyuti. Because according to the laws of nature, he had
which
entered...
One, which one you are reading? Sorry. I told you second paragraph, fourth line.
The living entity is the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he wants to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to enter various bodies. The living entity has no true relationship with the material body he gets from his material father and mother. He is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But he is allowed to go through different bodies. The body created by the so-called father and mother actually has nothing to do with its so-called creators. Therefore, the living entity flatly denied that Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife were his father and mother.
See, two very vital points are being made here. The jiva who is speaking now, his relationship with his material body of the baby body is zero. There is no relationship. He stayed in it, now he is out of it. And the sambandha is temporary. Even our body also, like we all have been in a child's body. Now, and eventually you go to a youth's body. Then you stay in an old body. And eventually when you quit the body, we have no more sambandha with the body. Correct, no? That is very clear. The jiva's sambandha with the body is very, very... It's like a flash of time in millions of years, if you see like that. And the second thing that is said is, and that particular body of the baby, it has no true relationship with mother and father also, it is said. So you may be a little shocked by this. How can you say that? Is a child not related to the mother and father? It will eventually come later in one verse where very amazingly it is explained, a deep philosophy is explained. It says, three souls come in this world. One is the child soul, one is father soul, one is mother soul. So the father soul uses one material body to impregnate the mother soul's body. Mother soul is carrying another material body. And this father soul is using his weapon, his tool, to impregnate the mother soul. And another third soul uses the product of their combination as his instrument, material body. And none of these three people are related. They are all coming from different places. They come, they do this type of transaction and they go back to different places. And their relationship is very short-lived. And then why do they feel the relation? The relation they feel because they identify with the body. The moment you understand I am not the body, then actually you understand that I am a soul seated in this material body. Like I am sitting in one car, you are sitting in another car, he is sitting in another car. It's like three cars. We all have our own cars. Huh? We are all sitting in our own respective cars. It's like three material bodies. Huh? But because, see, Krishna's arrangement is very amazing. Because the jiva wants to enjoy independently, he makes it appear that mother and father come together and give birth to a baby. Mother thinks, this baby has come out of my womb. So the flesh in the body of this baby is mine. Like that, who feels? Mother feels. So she gets mamta. Mamta comes from mummy, isn't it? So mummy feels mamta for the child because the child has come out of me. But the child is one different soul who has come from somewhere. And mother will know that when the child grows up. Many times you find when the child grows up, eventually when the boy comes to 20, 25 years and eventually when he gets married, when the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law have problem, daughter-in-law will say, come, let's go to London or America. She will go under. And the son will hear daughter-in-law, son will hear the wife or mother. That depends on who is more attached to. Correct, no? If he is more attached to wife, he will say, tata to mother and go away. You will see that. Then the mother wonders, I thought this is my own flesh, which has come out of my body. I thought he is my son. Now he is not my son, he is that lady's husband. Like that she feels. Isn't it? So, you will see, surprisingly, many mothers, fathers have a dream for the child. Like one mother, father, they were doctors. So, the father had already made up his mind. My son will come to 10th standard, eventually I will put him into medical. He wanted him to become a surgeon. But eventually, when the son came to 10th, he said, I want to go to College of Fine Arts and I want to become an artist. Father said, what nonsense are you talking? You know, he said, you can learn this thing side by side, but you should become a doctor. Son asked, why? Father said, I am a doctor. My wife is a doctor. My father and mother are doctors. My brother and sisters are doctors. My grandparents were doctors. And my wife's entire family's family are doctors. So we all are doctors. So you should be a doctor. Like that he said. Son said, what logic is this? Don't I have an identity? And I want to think also, and I have my likes and dislikes also. So in this way, then the father came to understand, oh, I thought he is my son. He seems to be different than me. I can't clone him to do what I want him to do. He understood that. So therefore, by knowing this philosophy, it is a very great help for all of us actually. By knowing this philosophy, actually nobody in this world belongs to us. Everybody belongs to Krishna only. By knowing this, we will cultivate detachment. We can live in a renounced temperament. When we have renounced temperament, therefore you will see great souls, they will give you suggestions, but they will never have hold any big expectations from you. You will see that. Because of their advancement, because they know everything is conducted by Krishna's will. And even those who come as relatives and friends, we are all connected closely in the form of families, at the same time professional colleagues and all. These people who are all around us, they all have been sent to purify us actually. Because they have expectation from us and we have expectation from them. Both of them are like unpolished diamonds. We upgrade each other and produce several sparks in many, many years and gradually we become polished. It takes time. So, to the degree we hold expectations and we don't cultivate detachment, to that degree we have to suffer mentally. Adibhautika klesh. We will suffer a lot. Therefore, the first thing the child is revealing a great truth. He says, we have been in species of demigods or lower animals, vegetables and human species. And in which birth were they is my mother and father? No one is actually my mother and father. How can I? And this is more easily explained in the coming few verses. Bandhu jnatyari madhyastha mitro dasina vidvishah sarvaye vahi sarvesham bhavanti kramashomitah. She is saying bandhu means, like for example, wife and her family becomes bandhu. They become like bonds after the marriage. That is called bandhu. Jnati means blood relatives. Like brother, sister, mother, father and all. That is jnati. Ari means swabhavik ghatak. Natural enemy. That means he is like a lifelong enemy. He is called as Ari. Whereas madhyastha means there are some people who are neutral. Sometimes they are friend. Other times they can act as enemy. Depending on situation. You know, if their sense gratification is hampered by you, they will become your enemy. Otherwise, they may be friendly. Like somebody, see, you have a house, you know, you have a compound, and in the neighborhood compound house, some neighbor has come, and they come and introduce themselves to you. Hi, good morning, how do you do? I am living right next to your house and everything. And then tomorrow, if some problem comes, like, you know, you, from your house servant, picked up all the garbage and threw it on the other compound or something, then there will be a big fight tomorrow. Or if there is a measurement of the land, you encroach a little bit while making your wall, maybe 5 inches extra you go and then make a big one. They will become enemy, correct, no? They might have been friend for some time and they can become enemy, yeah. Like two boys, they were very good friends. One was a topper and one was a first class. They were very good friends. But when very big company interview came, some Infosys interview came, and when this boy went for the interview, when this first class boy, he saw the topper also came. So he told the topper boy, hey, there are many companies which are offering you much bigger packages, you know, 12 lakh per annum, 14 lakh per annum. You know, why are you coming for competition with me here? And no, he said, no, I like this company, I want to come. They became enemies. You see, they were good friends before. That is actually called madhyastha can become enemy. Mitra means like well-wishers, friends. Yeah. Udasina means people who are never connected to you. They are going their way, you are going your way. They are called Udasina. Like that also there are people in our life, no? Correct? We go our way, other people go their way. Udasina. And Vidvishaha means, you know, envious person. That's very, very, like for example, Kauravas and Pandavas. They were actually earlier friends of the same family, but they became inimical due to a reason. The reason was kingdom was the center. Correct, no? Yeah. And then he is saying, sarva eva hi sarvesham bhavanti kramasho mitaha. Read the translation.
In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally, they mediate, they despise one another and they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related.
Yeah. See, it is said that you may have a good friendship with somebody today. Because both of you are dealing with one another in mode of goodness. Sattaguna. You are humble, you are tolerant, you are friendly, you are cooperative, you are willing to bend. All this is the mode of goodness. Tomorrow suddenly mode of passion arises in us. Then the friendship will be broken. You will find. Because in mode of passion we become unreasonable. We have a tendency to become aggressive, become arrogant, become harsh of speech. And we may want to encroach or they may want to encroach. The relationship doesn't last. Just like Drona and Drupada. In Gurukula, they were, Sattvaguna was very high. Isn't it? After Drona became the king, Rajaguna increased. Then Drona Drupada relationship became acidic. It no more remained pure. They became vengeful, revengeful and all that. Eventually you see like that. Therefore, friends at one time can become inimical. So now, Angira Muni while instructing Narada Muni and the child while speaking, and the Prabhupada is giving the purport here, Angira Muni had told him before also this point, that this boy who you are attached to now, imagine that he was your enemy in the previous life. Now that enemy thought, in the next life I will become his son and I will take a revenge by dying early, quickly. I will be a small baby, you know, they will develop too much attachment for me, suddenly I will pass away. And then they will all cry like anything. Because that's what I want to see. Because I am his enemy. I want to make him cry. So Angira Muni said, in case he was your enemy who came and went, will you cry now? So now Chitraketu will be a little confused now. Correct, no? Because if enemy has passed away, you should cry or you should be joyful? You should distribute sweets. Isn't it? Correct, no? So like that he asked the question, and such a thing can happen. So I'll tell you one true story. There was one small kid which was only about 5-6 years old. So two builders were there. So one builder's son was a small kid. And these two builders regularly used to have verbal fights. They used to have. At one point of time, they both aimed at same property, same land. They wanted to buy and develop. Because builders take land and develop, you know, and then they sell the flats and everything. When they wanted to do that, one of the builders, when they both put the money, and then the other person who was selling the property, he was hiking up the price more and more. In the course of that, this neighborhood builder lost. He could not get that property. So he became very angry with this fellow. And he couldn't express his anger to him. But he killed his child by taking the child to a bridge, you know, twisting his neck and throwing it in the river. But this child who died, in the next life, he became son in the other builder's family, which means the person who murdered him, he became his son. Can you imagine? When he begot a child, he didn't know that. When the child grew up, when he became 4 or 5, he started telling everybody, "Mere papa ne mujhe mara." The same fellow who killed me. And people are wondering, what is he saying? At last when the police came, a child called the police, "Come, I'll show you the place." He took him to the place, he showed the bridge. "This is the place. You know, this is what he exactly did, and he threw me and I died. Then I was wandering as a ghost for some time. Now I have come to his family and I have taken birth here." But why he has taken birth? He has taken birth to take revenge. You see? It can happen like that. Therefore, here he said, Angiramani told him, in case he is your enemy, then why should you lament? There is no reason to lament. Because your enemy only has come again now. Like that he said. That means, because the soul is the permanent thing and the bodies are always changing, there is no point being joyful that a child is born or submerged in lamentation that somebody has died. You will see in the same family sometimes one old man dies on Wednesday and Thursday a new child is born. Correct, no? In the family, you will see. Yesterday everybody cried, next day everybody will be jolly, joyful. Isn't it? That is material world. But in spiritual world there is no birth or death. There is no creation and annihilation in spiritual world. There is no old age or disease or death. Therefore, the joy is permanent there. So therefore, in this verse, he is saying, you know, no one is permanently related. So your relationship, and that is the point here, he is saying. So one lesson we all can learn here is, in case you have some devotee friends, at least we should take care that we don't glide down to rajoguna, tamoguna while dealing with them, because we may lose that friendship with whom we may have. And one should keep in sataguna. Otherwise, therefore the friendship can turn into this thing, enmity, like that he is saying. And he is also telling that somebody was your enemy before, now he has become a friend, again become an enemy. It's like up and down, it goes on. Yata vastuni panyani khemadini tatastatah pariyatanti nareshvevam jivo yonishu kartrushu. He is giving the example that sometimes gold and other commodities, you know, they are transferred from one person's house, it is pledged in a shop, then he sells it to somebody. It keeps going from one place to another. The gold is always moving. Like that the soul also moves from one family to another, he is telling like that. So like example, another example is given also that sometimes one son of a father is given in death to another family. You know datta they say? Datta means, what do you call it? Adoption of a child, yeah. So one rich father, millionaire, he had 2 sons. So one of his brothers did not have any son, he only had 2-3 daughters. He wanted a son. So he gave his elder son, you know, to another family member, okay, take him and adoption, he adopted. So now he had only 1 son now. So all the property goes to whom? To only that 1 son. Now the son who is going in adoption, will he get a share? He doesn't get. He is your son, he says. Although earlier he was a son, his own son only, naturally he would have had attachment. Once you have given him away as son of somebody else, that attachment also goes away. Similarly, you will find there was a lady who had a cow in her house. She used to give a name to the cow, some Sumati, some name, and very nicely caress the cow, feed the cow, bathe the cow, everything. She used to take the cow inside the house and keep the cow in the backyard, tending to the needs of the cow very nicely. Now this lady became very poor at one time and she had to sell off the cow. So she sold the cow to another lady which was 3 lanes away. She sold it off. And one day that cow somehow by mistake came to the old house and started grazing in the garden. So when this lady saw the cow, immediately she took the stick and ran to beat the cow. So that lady came running. She said, "Hey, don't beat the cow. Little grass the cow is eating. Why are you trying to beat the cow for this?" She said, "It's your cow. How can your cow come and eat along with my cows?" She was selling. So that lady said, "Some time ago this cow was your cow only, no? Why do you become so angry?" But once a cow is sold out to somebody, people consider it, I am Nijap Paroveti. We say, Gananam Lagu Chetasam. People see that it is there, this is mine. Mayame Tutu. That thing comes immediately. So that's what he is telling. The soul keeps moving from one place to another. Therefore, it's foolishness to say, "This is my child, this is my husband, this is my wife, my mother, my father." We become very attached. And too much attachment to this type of consciousness, he says, will submerge us in great lamentation when we are separated from them. Because when they go to other family, and they will all become other's relatives. Somebody who is a boy now can become a girl in the next life. Somebody who is a girl now can become a boy in the next life. And sometimes a person comes in the same family also. Like a great grandfather may be reborn in the same family due to attachment. It happens sometimes. Quite often not. They may go to different places all over the world. And therefore, in the concluding part of Purport, Prabhupada is saying, "Janme janme sabe pita mata paya Krishna guru nahi mile baja hariye." He's telling, in every life, you get a mother father. When the jiva is in the body of a pig, he gets pig for the father pig mother. When he is in the body of a camel, he gets camel mother camel father. Human body means human mother human father. But in every life you don't get guru. So getting a Vaishnava guru is extremely rare. Like that he is telling.
Nityasyartasya sambandho hanityo drishyate nrishu yavat yasya hi sambandho mamatvam tavadevahi. See, nityasya means the atma who is eternal. The sambandha is actually with the body is anityaha. It is seen in this world, yavad yasehi sambandho. If a jiva in this world having taken a body had a sambandha with mother, father, that sambandha only mamatvam remains, only as long as the jiva remains in that body. When the jiva leaves and goes, the sambandha also goes away. Like I told you the example of that cow, that is explained in this one, in this purport. Same thing Prabhupada explains. So the eighth one, in the eighth one translation, if you see, in the middle of the translation he says, as long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother as a result of his past creative activities. Read that further.
As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother, as a result of his past fruitive activities, he has a connection with the body given by that father and mother. Thus he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation.
Yeah, why we develop that attachment, there is a reason. Like a small newborn baby sees the mother is giving me breast milk. So she's my friend, correct, no? Because I am hungry. And she gives me something which actually nourishes my body and pacifies my hunger. Yeah. And then the child sees, I am actually incapable of doing anything. I am passing stool and urine, but she is cleaning it. And even in the midnight I am crying, but she is ready to wake up and nurse me and take care of me. Then the child watches, she is taking me to the bathroom and she bathes me, she dresses me very nicely. whatever she does for me is very soothing to me, very nice to me. She puts me in a cradle and shakes me. Sometimes she keeps me on her lap and shakes the lap. She's doing so many good things because the child is on a receiving mode. As the child receives more and more, the gratitude develops. Gradually the child says, who is this man? Child is wondering, mother says, this is your father. Then the father brings groceries from the market, he brings chocolate, he brings toys, and then the child understands, oh, this fellow is also offering me many things. That means anybody who is giving me anything is my friend. Like that somebody thinks, correct? No? And if somebody doesn't give what I want, they are my enemy. So generally parents pamper the child a lot. The children develop attachment to parents naturally. And the parents also interact with the child a lot. So they develop attachment because Shastra say prolonged exposure to anything makes one develop attachment. If I develop prolonged exposure to temple, taking darshan of deities, chanting the holy name, you will have this experience on Ekadashi day. You chant all day, eventually the chanting will become sweeter and sweeter. If you give prolonged exposure, generally the initial 16 rounds are like climbing mountain. You know, after that you keep on chanting 32 rounds, 58 rounds or 64 rounds, 72 rounds. If you chant like that, gradually the mind is completely subdued. So when the prolonged exposure to anything creates impressions in the mind. Like a mother can see the form of the child even after the child has gone to school. Like for example, I take the phone, I am talking to somebody. As soon as I hear their voice, I can remember their face also. Correct? Because it's already impressed in my mind. Impressions are there. So because the parents are serving child unconditionally, and the children eventually serve the parents unconditionally, this forms a very strong knot, a bond. And that's how that attachment develops. So, he is giving the reason. So, there's a false involvement in jubilation lamentation because that person whom I was so strongly connected is now getting separated from me forever. That causes the pain. But actually, we never had the sambandha before. Like, I ask yourself a question. When somebody becomes 28 or 30, they marry. After marriage, they gradually develop affection for each other, husband-wife. Correct, no? But they become so attached that they become inseparable practically after some time. So this is a practical proof. I told you about the child. Child develops attachment from 0 to 28 or 30. And husband-wife attachment begins from 28, 30 to 50, 60, 70. Correct, no? It is actually systematically developed. Therefore, Shastra say, if Kaumaram Acharyat Prajnya, from 5 years onwards, if you expose the children to spiritual impressions, take them to temple, show them the deity, you know, teach them shlokas, you know, give them prasad, you give spiritual impression for a prolonged period of time, then they will develop spiritual attachment. And it is very obvious. It is very, very obvious. So, you become sort of conditioned. See, my mother used to take us to bhajan. So in one bhajan, madam, they used to sing. In one of the bhajan, they used to sing. This song is so deeply, even now ringing in the ears. Anatanata dina bando rade govinda, rade govinda. Vrindavana Chandra Anatanata Dinavando Radhe Govinda. So this probably was heard, you know, how many years? 45 years ago, probably. But it the holy name is still ringing in the ears. So we used to go to temples, we used to go to bhajanamadams, we used to go to homes where they do bhajans and all. But when the impression is given, it remains for it has a lasting effect. Both material and spiritual impression. Whatever exposure you give, the mind as a nature, put some food, it will munch on it. Put spiritual food, it will munch on spiritual food. Put material food, munch on material food. So what food Chidraketu was giving to his mind? You are doubtful? Material food. Material food means all the time he was meditating on his child without relation to Krishna. Therefore he became broken hearted, isn't it? So, on the other hand, Srivas Thakur, all the time he was, you know, his mind was absorbed in remembrance of Lord Chaitanya's blissful face. So therefore, you know, he always thought of Lord Chaitanya's pleasure. You can see that. So,
how this verse explains how the false attachment is developed systematically. Yeah, and then in 9 and 10 he is telling the qualities of Lord and the Jiva. See, in the translation, we say the Jiva is eternal, is imperishable, he has no beginning and end. He never takes birth and never dies. He doesn't belong to any material body. He is very sublime. He is equal in quality to Supreme Lord. But because he is very tiny, here comes the difference. He is prone to Maya. Therefore, he creates various bodies for himself according to his different desires. See the last line, very amazing line. This is similar point is mentioned in Garuda Purana. We create various bodies according to our different desires. Imagine you go to a supermarket. Nowadays, the textile shops are so big, some of them. It can be this hall size also. You have seen that? See, you want to pick up a particular dress, say a certain shirt or a pant or any dress you want to pick up. They have so much variety. Very cheap variety and they have very costly variety also. Correct, no? So you go around, you look for different shades, they ask you what color you want, what size you want, how much is your budget. Correct? They ask everything. They take you around and then you pick up. Similarly, Garuda Purana says that the next body is picked up by us only. It is not forced on us. It is actually picked up by us. But the higher agents will check whether you have the sufficient budget with you of good karma. For example, I go to a cloth shop and say, oh, I like this shirt very much. This is 5,000 rupees. And in my pocket, I have only 500 rupees. Will they give me? They will say, sorry, sir. You come. We will take you to another place. Now, your 500 rupees is limited to this zone. Within this place, you have to choose. Whatever is best within this, you choose. But it is chosen by whom? The Jiva. Garuda Purana says that. Same thing is said here also. Thus, he creates various bodies for himself according to his different desires. You see? Yeah. And then the purport, before that Ishvara Sarbhutanam verse, Prabhupada says in the purport, he is described as Prabhu, Master. If he likes, he can come to this material world. If he likes, he can return back, come back to Godhead. Because he wanted to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gave him a material body through the agency of material energy. Like that he says. And then the next 10th one, he is telling about the Lord's qualities. Similar qualities. Lord is equal to all. He is well-wisher of everybody, you know. And then he goes on. Now, 11th verse also talks about qualities of the Lord. He is completely independent. The living entities are his parts and parcels. And all that. Now, in the 12th verse onwards, 12th to 17th, there is funeral of the child and the atonement of the queens. So, Shri Badarayani Urvacha.
Shri Sukhdev Goswami continued, when the conditioned soul Jiva in the form of Maharaja Chitraketu's son had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. They cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation.
It's amazing. See, by hearing this knowledge, therefore it is said, Anvikshikya Shokamohav Dambam Mahadupasaya. It is said, by philosophical discussions, our lamentation can be finished. And illusion can also be finished. By philosophical discussion. Right now, till now, we have been discussing philosophically. By hearing such philosophical discourses, our two things, shoka moha, anvikshikya shoka moha. Shoka moha can be driven out. Like if somebody has died in somebody's home, whenever I went to anybody's such home, if they are in a mood to listen after doing kirtan, what would I generally speak to them? I would tell them that nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, that verse. And the soul is actually, you know, imperishable. He cannot be cut by weapons. He can't be burned by fire. He quits the body. He is different from the body. He owns the body. And Lord has given him the body. Please understand this. Your relative has not died.
that relative has gone to another destination. And he was a Punyatma, he was a donor, he was a well-wisher, he was always subordinate to God, and he did so many good things. So naturally they'll go to a good destination. Next, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe. They will go like that. So many relatives immediately become pacified. Because that is the actual reality. The body is simply a dress. So when they heard it, they could cut off the shackles of lamentation immediately. And the next verse says even more amazing things. You will see that. As you proceed further, you will see one of the verses will say, after they gave up illusion lamentation, even the next 14th verse, it says, Balagnyo, which means, these co-wives who poisoned the child, they were very ashamed after hearing all this philosophy. And they lost all their bodily lustre because they were murderers of the child. So they lost their, they got lackluster. They lost their bodily lustre. They just went away. And then they gave up their ambition to bear the children. And then they all went to the bank of Yamuna, and they bathed and atoned with the help of Brahmanas and everything for the sinful activities. The Brahmanas gave them guidance on what to do. So in this way, Prabhupada says in the purport about how the modern women sometimes they abort the child, which is a very great sin. Here also these ladies, they didn't abort the child, but they killed the child. So Prabhupada talks about the sin. And 15th verse translation says something very interesting. Read that, 15th verse translation.
Thus enlightened by the instructions of the Brahmanas, Angira and Narada, King Chitraketu became fully aware of the spiritual knowledge. As an elephant becomes free from a muddy reservoir of water, King Chitraketu came out of the dark well of family life.
So, like an elephant, instead of staying in a muddy pool of water and remaining muddy, he comes out of that muddy lake and then probably he cleanses his body somewhere else. He has to cleanse it under a waterfall or something, so that his mud will be gone. Similarly, Chitraketu came out of the dark well of material life. So what is the dark well of material life? Dark well means a person who makes the home his goal. Actually, that is Griha Medhi, Grihastha. These two words are used in the Bhagavatam. So Medhi means like this. This is a stick. And the bull, you know, Kulluka Bail, they say. Kulluka Bail goes round and round. You know, it extracts the oil. You know that? Goes round. Similarly, a man makes the home the pivot of his life. So he doesn't know anything beyond that. He only thinks of my mother, my father, my wife, my children, my business, my car, my dog, puppy dog, my furniture at home. So his consciousness is so thickly absorbed in this. This is everything for him. He doesn't think of anything beyond this. He's called as a Griha Medhi. A typical home in India, you see, Sunday morning when they get up, they drink a bed coffee, they read a newspaper with some supplement. After that, they eat some food with everybody, and then they watch TV for 3-4 hours. Correct, no? That's a Griha Medhi home, typical home. So that is actually called as dark well of family life. Why it's called dark well? Sometimes in a forest, Paramuja Radhavan Maharaj was telling in Bihar, sometimes they make a pit which is this much deep, a big rectangular thing, like that for storing water or something like that. But sometimes it is dried up. There's no water kept in that. But over that grasses are grown. So some animals in the forest, they slip and they fall into it. And when they fall into it, now this much height, can anybody climb on their own? Nobody can climb. Then the animal has to scream. And in case somebody is passing by, they hear it. Then they may hear the scream of the animal, like a cow or something has gone in. Then they will make some arrangement to pull up the cow. Maybe they will put a ladder, go down, tie it with a string. Many people may lift it and bring it out like that. So, Maharaj was telling, in the same manner, sometimes a married man makes the home the pivot and he forgets God. And he doesn't know who am I. He doesn't know what is soul, what is body, what is goal of life, why this world exists, who is God. All things, these things are far away. Maybe there's a Bhagavad Gita in his house in the puja room where he has put some flowers and kept it. He has never opened it. Yeah, there are innumerable people like this. Therefore he's telling. Chitraketu was one such fellow. Although he had respect for saintly people. So when Narada Muni came, when Angira Muni came to his palace, you know, he bowed down, he put him in an elevated asana, he sat down in a crouched posture, you know, all that was very good. But Angira could understand, this fellow is a first class pious materialist. He is not interested to hear any philosophy. He doesn't want to know the goal of life. He is not here to purify his heart. He doesn't want to go back to God. He simply is showing all this beautiful humility to get what he wants. He is in which mode? It's called I, me, mine bubble. Repeat it, what bubble? That was Chitraketu. I, me, mine bubble. I and me and then mine. Everything that belongs to me. So my home, my wife, my mother, my father, my car, my this, my that. See, these type of people sometimes want only relief from religious preachers. Therefore, you will find all over the world people, the lectures they appreciate the most are those talks which never talk about purifying heart, which only talk about, you know, how to feel good and how to feel positive, how to be hopeful in life, how to, you know, how to be confident that you will succeed. Actually, these things never come to the core of what the Bhagavata is. Bhagavata is all about purifying the heart. If you don't want to, see, it's like you have a boil, somebody tells you, please Prabhu, come here, I will just blow on the boil. How do you feel? And you say, oh, I feel very nice. Thank you, every day come and blow and go. So, okay, every day you will come, blow and go, but will you get cured? We will never get cured. You remain in the dark well only. You never get cured. If you want somebody to simply blow on our boil, but if somebody can apply some ointment or in case the boil is too big, pus is there, you know, they may have to bring a scalpel and knife and they have to remove it, although maybe some anesthesia can be given also. But after it is removed, some kind of malampatti can be put and then you get permanently cured. So you will find when Angira Muni came, was he ready? He was not ready. Therefore, they delayed the process of giving him knowledge. So fortunately in ISKCON, Prabhupada spoke these things very frankly, honestly. So in ISKCON you will find there is no difference between grihasthas, brahmacharis, sannyasis. Prabhupada did not make difference. Prabhupada appreciated devotees based on their dedication, based on their commitment. One husband wife wrote to Prabhupada and wife said, Prabhupada, I have given permission to my husband to take sannyas. And husband wrote, Prabhupada, as she has given me permission, I am ready to take sannyas. What do you say? Prabhupada said, what is the need of sannyas for you? You are doing work like 100 sannyasis. You continue your good work, Prabhupada told them. Because together they were functioning better. Prabhupada thought, why to separate them? If you take sannyas and maybe, like you see His Grace, Sankarshanjas Adhikari Prabhu and His good wife Vishnupriya Mataji. So once I met them in their room, so I went to ask him some questions and everything. So whenever I would ask a question, he would give me an answer and then he will turn to his wife and say, Devi, anything you want to add? And Mataji is very great intellectual. She'll give an intellectual answer. Add to my answer. And then he will say, oh, that's from a different angle you gave. Sabash, very good, sadhu, very nice. He would appreciate. So once I wrote a letter to him, Prabhu, you and your wife are like Lord Shiva and Gauri. You know, you both actually function so spiritually well. And then he said, Radhesham, what you wrote is very true. He said that, actually, she is my manager, he said. I travel all across the globe and she coordinates all the programs. I am very poor at it, he said. You put me in Vyasasana, I can give lecture. But she is a very good coordinator. So like this, Prabhupada had some couples who are fully dedicated. And Prabhupada treated them as good as sannyasis. You can't label them as grihamedis just because they have a family, husband, wife, child. If somebody would do that, would become aparad. If somebody would do that. So therefore, if anybody makes Krishna as samsara karo, chadiyana achar, then they can be as good as renunciates. So now Chitraketu became exalted now. From this point onwards, you will see that. See the next 16th verse. Read it quickly.
The king bathed in the water of the Yamuna and according to the prescribed duties, he offered oblations of water to the forefathers and demigods. Very gravely controlling his senses and mind, he then offered his respects and obeisances to the sons of the Lord Brahma, Angira and Narada.
Yeah. And the next verse says about how Narada was very pleased, Angira was very pleased also. And then now, he further spoke transcendental instructions. Narada is telling him, Narada saw that although philosophically he is convinced, still his heart has to become more pure, not to revert back to the old lamentation. Therefore he gave him a mantra now. Om Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnayanuruddhaya Namasankarshanaya cha Namo Vijnana Matraya Paramananda Murtaye Atma Ramaya Shantaya Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye. So in this way, he is explaining about Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. In three aspects the Lord exists, and the Lord exists as Pradyumna, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So this is a prayer to them. So he gave this mantra to him. So now you will find. So like that, there are a few prayers in glorification of the Lord Narada gave to him in 2-3 verses. Go to the 22nd one, read the translation, 22nd one.
As the pots, made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, this cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman. Situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful.
Yeah. See, Narada completely turned the focus of Chitraketu from being attached to his own baby to developing attachment for Lord Vasudeva. Because he told him, actually, all our material bodies are like pots in this world. Like sometimes you go to a pot maker shop, there is a wheel in which he makes different shapes of pots. Some are flat ones, some are very long ones, some are little stout ones. And he keeps them all arrayed in the shop and you can go and purchase, correct, no? Different wares made of the clay. So, our Bhagavatam, one of the purports, Prabhupada explains, those pots are compared to 8.4 million species. And the wheel is compared to Durga. And the potter who is making the pots is compared to Virat Purusha. Why Virat Purusha? From Virat Purusha's body is the resting place for all the things and the jivas in this whole creation. And the Supreme Lord is different from Virat Purusha also. Just like the farmer has his soul, farmer has his body. Similarly, the soul of the farmer, who is that? That is Lord Vasudeva. The Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, which is Sachidananda Shamsundara form. So in this way, he is explaining. What he is saying, don't be stuck up in one of the small parts. Imagine somebody goes and sees the parts. Don't look at the parts. Look at the wheel from where the parts are coming. Don't just look at the wheel. Look at the potter who is making the parts. Is it not true? In this way, he is raising his vision by teaching him the ultimate truth. Because generally people are attracted by the gimmicks or the glamour of this world. There are many things going on in this world. Scientists are also attracted by the material nature. But Prabhupada used to say, why are you attracted to nature? Krishna is the controller of nature. Look at him who created this nature and who is controlling the nature. Like the mother who told the child. Child actually was watching the puppet, but the mother was watching the puppeteer. And the child asked the mother, Mom, how is this puppet moving on its own? And mom said, no, my dear, it doesn't move of its own. There is a puppeteer who was moving it. Similarly, devotees don't get stuck in this world by seeing the temporary beauties of this world. Either nowadays, if you see, I was in Govardhaneko village. Govardhana Prabhu was showing me how many people were clicking the mountains, how many people were clicking the trees and plants. Many people clicking. So he was telling, unfortunately, the jivas are attracted only to Virat Purusha, he was telling. I asked, how?
these are all part of Virat Purusha's body only. Mountains are his bones. You know, he was telling. Mountains are his bones. People are attracted to rising sun. That is Virat Purusha's eyes. Click, la, you know, his eyes. So people are attracted to the Lord's majestic Virat Purusha form. But when you talk about Shyamsundar form, they are unable to understand, because they are actually drawing from Virat Purusha's body all the resources for enjoyment. Therefore, they are attracted only to that. Was telling. So, next verse also. Read the 24th one. Read 24th one. As iron has the power to burn.
As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman.
Yeah. Just like, for example, you put iron rod in the fire, it becomes fiery. Then you can use it for burning anything. See, in the purport, Prabhupada gives one very powerful example. Almost 15 lines from bottom, you see. For example, the brain. Read that.
Where is it?
For example, the brain is nothing but matter.
For example, the brain is nothing but matter. But when electrified by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the brain can act. Just as iron can burn when made red hot by the influence of fire, the brain can act while we are awake or even while we are dreaming. But when we are fast asleep or unconscious, the brain is inactive. Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power with which to act. It can act only when favored by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is favoring? This brain is a dead lump of matter. But it is acting because Lord has placed a soul in this body. Therefore, the brain is acting. See, for example, if I hide behind this desk and I move it like this, it will look like a ghost, no, for you. Isn't it? You may wonder, hey, how is this moving on its own? Correct, no? But it is moving because there is a spirit behind it, which is moving it. So here Narada is again explaining this point to him, that it is the Lord who is making the whole world act. Otherwise, the whole world is like dead matter. Everything will be stagnated here. And that is explained in another chapter very nicely. Know the Nath Dushtat Tada Virat. Like that, repeatedly that statement will come. In the dawn of creation, the Brahmanda was created. You know, planetary systems were created. All the jivas were brought in. All the demigods to control the senses were ready. Everything was there. Even Virat Purusha came also. But nothing was moving. Then all the demigods of the eyes like sun went to the eyes of the Lord and the sun god. And then they were actually trying to wake up the Lord. Similarly, the Dig Devatas were trying to wake up the Lord by saying, please get up, Uttishta, Uttishta. All the different sense Devatas. No? But Lord was not getting up at all. Why? Until the super soul entered the universe. When super soul entered, whole universe became activated. Birds started flying, the ocean started having waves, living entity started moving, bustling with activities. So when Lord acts, everybody can act. Similarly, the jiva enters the body, then only body can be active. So Narada is thoroughly explaining to him in this way. Okay, let's go to the 26th verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Bhaktayaitam Prapannaya Vidyam Adishyanaradaha Yaya Vangirasa Satam Dhamaswayam Bhuvam Prabho.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued, Narada, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O Parikshit Maharaj, O King Parikshit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahmaloka.
Read the purport, very important purport. Yeah.
When Angira had come first to visit King Chitraketu, he did not bring Narada with him. However, after the death of Chitraketu's son, Angira brought Narada to instruct King Chitraketu about Bhakti Yoga.
Same way, we can also take one more devotee with us. In case you are preaching to somebody, you find the person a little tough nut, difficult to crack, then we can take a little more powerful devotee than ourselves. Correct, na? We can go and take, we used to do that in IIT, we used to preach to some boys. If the boys are not getting convinced, then we would take him to Devamrita Prabhu. And one meeting with Devamrita Prabhu finished. So therefore, Angira thought that Angira and Narada are very good friends. And Angira has experience, Narada has made many, many devotees. So he wanted to show mercy to Chitraketu through Narada. Yeah.
The difference was that in the beginning, Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation.
I told you in the beginning of the class today, I elaborated on this. I was using the word detachment, here the word renunciation is used. We need a renounced temperament. Yeah.
But after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by his great plight, he was awakened to the platform of renunciation by instructions regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions. It is only at this stage that Bhakti Yoga can be instructed. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, Bhakti Yoga cannot be understood.
My Lord, this is a very important statement. We'll repeat this statement. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, Bhakti Yoga cannot be understood. Now some people may wonder, what are other people doing? Are they doing Bhakti Yoga or some other yoga only? In the name of Bhakti Yoga. Actually that is called Bhakti Abhas. Bhakti Abhas means that which looks like Bhakti, which is actually not Shuddha Bhakti, not a serious type of Bhakti. We are actually going through the motion of Bhakti. We are doing something which looks like Navavidha Bhakti and everything. But actually for a person to do Bhakti Yoga actually means what? Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tat paratpera nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. The definition of bhakti is, we should do it free from designations. I should not think I am a man, I am a woman, I am a child, I am old, I am brahmana, or I am M.Tech, I am an educated engineer. I should give up all the upadhis. And I should think I am an insignificant jiva. That verse is there, you know. Ayinandata nuja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam budhav kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintai. This is the right consciousness. This is called sarva upadhi. When the heart is pure, so with a purified heart, performing devotional activities is called actually bhakti. Right now our heart is not yet purified, so what we are doing is actually, we can say it's like a preparation for bhakti. But this is also helpful. Eventually we will get purer and purer. So in the next para, Prabhupada says, read that, the Krishna consciousness movement.
The Krishna consciousness movement is progressing successfully in the Western countries at the present moment because the youth in the West have reached the stage of Vairagya or renunciation.
Why they have reached the stage of Vairagya? They got thoroughly fed up and frustrated with sense gratification. So sometimes Prabhupada used to say, when Indians would go to America, they would get fascinated by the facilities, amenities, posh roads, you know, amazing systems, and cleanliness, everything. When they see all those things in America, some Indians go and they never come back. They get stuck in America. So Prabhupada saw that Indians are coming to America also to do the higher studies and make money in dollars. In India, if you would earn 30,000-40,000 rupees, in America you can make 1-1.5 lakh per month very easily. Even average person. Many people make even more. So people go for collecting more dollar notes to America. So when Prabhupada saw them there, coming for making money, so Prabhupada said, these are new crows, he said. And he called the Americans as old crows, he said. So why old crow? Old crow goes to a garbage dump and picks out dirty things. Eventually after eating those dirty things, they get fed up now. And they are thinking of eating something better. But the new crows have not yet experienced what is inside garbage. Therefore they are coming and sitting. Now they are picking out and trying to. So Prabhupada called Indians as new crows that time. So Prabhupada is saying here, the hippies, there is not one bad activity which they have not done.
Anything that you can think of and you can't think of also. That much they had done everything. I heard when Prabhupada went from New York to San Francisco, that time Mike and Jan, they had met one very famous musician who was a very great popular hero. His name was Sam. Sam and Marjorie. So these two people, they had taken so much drugs, they were on the verge of dying actually. If they did not meet Mike and Jan, they would have died within the next 2-3 months. It's mentioned in Leelamrita. But then by coming to Krishna consciousness, they became very jolly. Then that Sam became Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And Marjari became Malati Mataji. And they organized a program for Prabhupada and all. So therefore Prabhupada says here, and the youth in the West had reached the stage of Vairagya. Read further.
They are practically disgusted with material pleasure from material sources, and this has resulted in a population of hippies throughout the Western countries. Now if these young people are instructed about Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness, the instructions will certainly be effective.
Yeah, and it has been effective. Prabhupada proved it practically, isn't it? Yeah. And then Prabhupada quotes Sarvam Bhattacharya, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartha Meka Purusha Purana. He quotes it. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines, he says. Read the next line, advancement in devotional service. Next line, next to that.
Yes.
Middle.
Advancement in devotional service or Krishna consciousness is characterized by increasing renunciation of material enjoyment. Narad Muni is the father of devotional service, and therefore, just to bestow causeless mercy upon King Chitraketu, Angira brought Narad Muni to instruct the king.
Yeah.
These instructions were extremely effective. Anyone who follows in these footsteps of Narad Muni is certainly a pure devotee.
Yeah, see from 27 onwards you will see. See the 27. Fasting and drinking only water. Chitraketu for 1 week continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Narad Muni. Next Saturday we have to fast without water. For one full day only. Whereas he only drank water for 1 week. No other food, no solid foods and all. And after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the Guru, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. Like we say, Tarangarangani. In between devotional service, a devotee looks very charming and very attractive as devotee is progressing. So lot of gifts come to the devotee. We call as lab, we say puja lab patishta comes to a devotee. A devotee will be revered and respected by people. People will touch his feet. The people may come and offer gifts also. And that is inspired by the Lord. Devotees come and offer. So one of the gifts that he is getting is, he was made the king of Vidyadhara planet. See, he was the earthly king before. Now he has become king of Vidyadhara planet. He is elevated to that position. And then, thereafter, within a few days, by the influence of the mantra, Chitraketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened and he attained the shelter of Lord Ananta Deva. Prabhupada says, read the purport first, 4-5 lines.
A devotee's ultimate achievement is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in any one of the planets in the spiritual sky. As a result of rigid execution of devotional service, a devotee receives all material opulences if these are required. Otherwise, the devotee is not interested in material opulences, nor does the Supreme Lord award them.
Yeah, Lord is awarding a material opulence, namely Vidyadhara Loka. That can also be engaged in Lord's service, correct now? Otherwise, these things can become stumbling blocks in our spiritual life, correct now? Either he is saying. And then Prabhupada is going on to say, Nirbandha Krishna Samadhi. Read further, there is one line later. Prabhupada is saying, for example, if a devotee spends money to construct a beautiful and costly temple, the construction is not material but spiritual. A devotee's mind is never diverted to the material side of the temple. See, some people when they come, they look up here and there, except the deity, they see everything else. They ask, what is this pillar made up of? Is it red stone? Is it marble? And what is it Makrana marble? Or no? People ask different materials and everything. But a devotee sees where? Devotee sees the deities of the Lord. Of course, you are also allowed to see the pillar also. After seeing deity, you can see pillar also. But Prabhupada is saying, read further, the bricks.
The bricks, stone and wood used in the construction of the temple are spiritual, just as the deity, although made of stone, is not stone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the more he can understand the elements of devotional service.
For that we have to understand this verse. Brahma arpanam brahmahavir brahmagnav brahmanahutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. This verse says everything is spiritual which is in relation to Lord. Krishna's dress is spiritual. Krishna's jewelry is spiritual. Krishna's flute is spiritual. And the garland we offer for Krishna, that is spiritual. And the Krishna's altar is spiritual. Then the temple hall is spiritual, the pillars are spiritual, and all the dharmas that are put up, everything is spiritual. And the devotees coming into the temple, going out of the temple, they are all spiritual. Their bodies are also spiritual, spiritualized by touch with Krishna. And the books we use, Gita, Bhagavatam, they are spiritual. Charanamrita that is given to us is spiritual. The garden where the flowers are made for Lord Krishna's pleasure, that garden is also spiritual. That means anything, either it should be directly spiritual. Even this mic is spiritual. Why? It is spiritualized. Although it is material, it's being spiritualized by glorifying Krishna. So that understanding one should have, he is saying. Yeah. Read further.
Consequently, a devotee is awarded so-called material opulence for spiritual advancement. This opulence is an aid to help the devotee advance towards the spiritual kingdom. Thus, Maharaj Chitraketu remained in material opulences as a Vidyadharapati, master of the Vidyadharas.
And he was executing his devotional service, yeah. And then Prabhupada says in the next line, the karma is material opulence and the devotee's material opulence are not on the same level. He's saying, yeah, devotee may be rich, karma is rich, but if a devotee is engaging the wealth in Lord's service, that is spiritual. That's what he's saying. So now, the next 2-3 verses, when Chitraketu did this meditation on the Lord, he... See the verse number 30, translation. Upon reaching the shelter of Lord Shesha, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chitraketu saw that he was, Lord Sankarsana, was as white as the white fibers of a lotus flower. He was dressed in bluish garments and adorned with a brilliantly glittering mukut, kirit. And he was wearing armlets and belt. Belt means not like our belt, it's a jeweled belt. Yeah. And bangles. His face was smiling and his eyes were reddish. He was surrounded by such exalted liberated persons as Sanat Kumar. So he became a devotee of whom? Sankarshan. Sankarshan. So, and the next translation, 31. As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contamination and situated in his original consciousness. And being completely purified, he became silent and grave. And because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes and his hair stood on end. With great devotion and love, he offered respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Tad darshanat dvasta samasta kilbishaha. All his sinful reactions were eradicated simply by seeing the Lord. So, I will stop with the 31. 32 onwards we will begin. And then what Chitraketu spoke to Lord and what Lord spoke to Chitraketu back. We will finish that in the next class briefly. And then we will go to the subsequent chapter also. Because this chapter was supposed to be over today. But my introduction became little long. I was speaking about that renounced temperament. Almost 40 minutes I spoke. The reason I spoke was, why are we studying this pastime which teaches us about the detachment? How is detachment glorious and helpful, especially in the path of devotional service? How is it different from that of jnanis? These things I was explaining. So that took some time. Otherwise I would have finished this chapter this time. So mostly, I feel that the dialogue of Chitraketu and the Lord's answer, there are only few vital verses. I have already marked them. So when you come next time, we will swiftly go through them in about 45 minutes. I will keep a track of my time carefully. And then 1 hour 15 minutes, we are going to deal with the next chapter, which is very important chapter for Vaishnavas, because it teaches about how we should be careful in dealings with other Vaishnavas. Chitraketu laughing at Shiva and Mother Parvati cursing him. That's the chapter. Innumerable lessons are there. About 1 hour 15 minutes should be sufficient for that, I believe. In case it doesn't get over, we will take one more week. Mostly it should be over, I think. Srila Prabhupada ki, Antarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gavad Bhaktavarinda ki. Thank you very much.